My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. That's more like it. That is more like it. Good Phillies win last night as they take down the Nationals in the series opener 13-3 after what was maybe one of the biggest wins of the season the night prior against the Marlins with Kyle Schwarber. Obviously, maybe turning the season around here. We'll see. It feels like we've had a couple of those moments, but a massive grand slam for Kyle Schwarber against the Marlins the other night. And now the Phillies have won two in a row here. So it has been some really frustrating baseball over the past, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks at this point. You can stretch it all the way back to London if you want to with the Phillies, having a losing record since then. But maybe a sign of things to come here as a couple of good games against the Marlins and the Nationals, I will say. But there were some signs there over the last couple of nights that maybe they're changing their approach and changing how they're doing things offensively. So good win for the Phillies last night. And how about did not have a Weston Wilson cycle on my Phillies 2024 bingo card this year? I'm not sure what was more shocking, that or a couple weeks ago, the Nick Castellanos 15-pitch at-bat. I mean, Weston Wilson, he's had like 20-some games in Major League Baseball that he's played, and now he's got a cycle, the first cycle at Citizens Bank Park since David Bell in 2004. JT had one in Arizona last year. That was the first one since that David Bell cycle. But the first one at home since 2004, which is pretty insane. Would not have guessed Weston Wilson was going to be the guy to do that. You got Jimmy Rollins. You got Chase Utley. You got Bryce Harper. Shane Victorino. All these guys. That would be prime cycle candidates here. Weston Wilson. How about it? But good for him, man. That post-game interview he did with T-Mac, Kruk, and all of them last night on TV after the game was unreal. It was just so good to feel happy for him. And, glad he was able to lift the Phillies up. And it feels like the clubhouse is in a much better place than it was a couple days ago. And much better, my head's in a much better place than it was a couple days ago. So let's dive into it here. The approach been much better the last couple nights, I would say. It was a really tough couple of weeks for a few reasons, but I think the main thing that I think was frustrating a lot of fans and, I just think was frustrating to watch was the approach in the at-bats. It just felt like, the Phillies are down 3-0 and they're starting a clean inning. And then it just felt like they were pressing way too hard and just trying to hit a 3-run home run when there was nobody on base, just with the swings being so, I guess, deliberate and the swings just being so all or nothing. And it's frustrating because you've seen this team be able to develop or manufacture runs in different ways, whether that's on the base paths with their speed with Stott and Turner, and being able to obviously drive in runs with two outs and run scoring position like Alec Boehm does and what Kyle Schwarber has done a lot more of this year. But they weren't doing that for a good amount of time, and it seems like the last couple of nights there's been a slight change to that approach here. So, also, there was a team meeting that, kind of they said didn't happen, but has been reported that actually did happen before the Marlins game on Wednesday night. And you know what? They needed it. They absolutely needed it. And whatever Rob Thomson said, it seems to be working so far. They're 2-0. And even just, again, the approach with the at-bats, it just had to get better because there's no way that a team this talented offensively should not be driving in runs when they have they were still getting guys on base. It's not like the Phillies were unable to, you know, put anything together. But even two nights ago, before the Schwarber Grand Slam, which, again, they got the runs via the homer right there, but they were still able to load the bases in a way in which, you know, can lead to future success in terms of being able to manufacture runs. When they load the bases for Schwarber, Stott singled, JT walked, Rojas beats out an infield single, and then the insurance runs later in the game. You're able to, you know, get four straight hits and be able to tack on after the Schwarber Grand Slam. And by the way, just I know I love Kyle Schwarber, and I just talk about how much I appreciate him on, it feels like, every single podcast every week, but my goodness, Kyle Schwarber. Like, if there was ever a time to meet the moment there, it just felt like that was it. There was such anticipation before he came to the plate in that at-bat. It's just like, man, this could be the thing that breaks them out of this. And what do you know? He just takes a 2-1 changeup, goes the other way with it, and gets it into the first row. So that was an incredible moment. Good for Kyle Schwarber. If anybody's going to lift this team up, if anybody's going to lift their spirits, it always feels like it's going to be Kyle Schwarber. He can't leave. He can't ever leave. He's got a contract that expires after next year. He absolutely needs to be extended before the start of next season. I think they will. I think he's too important of a leader on this team, and I think he's too important of a bat, obviously, being in the leadoff spot. So I don't think Kyle Schwarber is going anywhere anytime soon. If he does, I will not be happy. So extend Kyle Schwarber. Make sure he is a Philly for the foreseeable future. Just what a moment for him the other night. That was incredible because it truly did lift the ballpark. I was at the ballpark on Tuesday for that Blazo guy, whoever shut out the Phillies, the rookie who basically threw 89 to 90 mile an hour fastballs the entire night that they just could not touch. And the atmosphere in the ballpark, I would almost call it somber. Like, there were boos at times, and you could kind of feel just the tension of the crowd a little bit. But it was just like a somber, quiet atmosphere. And I'm not used to that when I'm going to Citizens Bank Park. And it was jarring. It absolutely was. And it just felt like that was truly rock bottom. Losing 5-0 to a rookie pitcher on the Marlins when their lineup, after the trade deadline, I mean, it is absolutely horrible. Jake Berger is like their star, I guess. And then you have, you know, Jesus Sanchez, who, you know, and you got Pache in there after he signs with the Marlins. And it was just a disaster of a night. It was really bad. But they have the team meeting. They're able to turn it around. And you have to give Topper a little credit in this situation because, you know, it had been a bad few weeks for Topper. I'm not going to lie. Like, there were some decisions that I really didn't agree with in terms of the bullpen, just in terms of sitting guys in the lineup. And you know what? He took a little action. He had a team meeting. He, you know, whether you want to call the Trey sitting out on Wednesday night a benching or just getting him off his feet, I thought it was the right thing to do for sure. And you know what? They responded. And now they are 2-0 since that meeting. And now hopefully, you know, they can kind of just take off here and get back to what they were earlier in the season. Because if you look at the standings now, they are back at the top of the National League after the last couple of days. The Dodgers lose yesterday again. Phils win yesterday again. So the Phils now sit at 71-50 on the season. Dodgers are 71-51. So like I said, a half game up. And the Brewers are then 2 games behind the Phils for the National League. And the Braves are 7 behind the Phillies for the NL East. And it feels like, and again, I don't want to jinx anything. And I understand that people don't love, you know, when hosts and other, you know, people who talk baseball say this, but it feels like the division really is kind of wrapped up. Like, the Braves and the Mets have played some really bad baseball over the past few weeks. Like, the Phillies had a 4-6 road trip, and it was a almost disastrous road trip. Like, some really bad baseball played, especially in Arizona, and the Phillies gained a game in the division on that road trip, which is just absolute insanity. It goes to show you how bad the Braves and the Mets have played. And I just, even if the division is wrapped up, you have to get a top two seed. Because for all, I just don't understand the thought process of a lot of people thinking right now that, oh, you don't want just the straight path to the division series because then you have the rest and, you know, maybe lose momentum. I just don't think that's like a feasible argument to be had just because you're skipping a whole round of the postseason. Like, anything can happen in a three-game series. You lose game one, you know, you got to win two straight unless you're, and then your season's over. So I don't understand the mindset of not wanting to play in the divisional round. I think that's pretty, you know, weird, just like a weird mindset to have. So I think that the Phillies have to get a top two seed here. And if they don't, it will be an absolute massive disappointment. So good thing they were able to bounce back the last couple of days. They're now back at the top of the National League. And, you know, you hope that they can kind of carry that and keep that for the rest of the year. So a one seed would be very ideal to have heading into the postseason. We will see, you know, if that could stick. So, again, just want to talk about what's changed over the last couple nights. It just felt like last night they were absolutely dialed in, just locked in to winning a baseball game. And that's what you kind of felt over the first 3 months of the season. Like, you have the one play where Turner's on second base and Harper hits that absolute screaming line drive single to right field. And then as the Washington right fielder, I think it was Alec Call, is throwing the ball in, you have Bryce kind of reading the throw, and he hustles in a second, which was great to see. And then Turner, who's paying attention the whole time, once he sees that ball go to second, you know, he's running right home, and they steal a run. It's just those little things that it's – the Phillies were doing that constantly in the first 2 to 3 months of the year. It just felt like they were winning ball games at any possible cost, and they were scratching runs across any possible way they could. And last night was a great indicator to, you know, kind of think that they reset their mind a little bit and said, hey, we gotta go here. Like, this is, you gotta put your foot on the pedal. There are teams right behind us in the National League, and if we don't get our act together, you know, we're gonna be playing in the wild card round here. So it was great to see that last night. I talked about what Rob did with Trey. He sits Trey on Wednesday night, and he said it was just a day off for him. I don't know if I'm going to believe that or not. And also, Sosa's been playing some pretty good ball, so it was good to get Sosa in there for a night as well. But Trey's been brutal at the plate, man, and just really, really been struggling since the All-Star break, right around 200. But then after he gets sat down for what was that Wednesday night matchup, last night he comes back and he has a three-hit night and just, you know, looks way more locked in. And even in the field, like that error he had against the Marlins on Tuesday, it's just absolutely brutal. It's just routine stuff now. And I do think eventually, not this year, and I understand that, you know, people might get upset about this, I don't think Trey is going to be the shortstop long-term for the Phillies. I think he is eventually going to get moved to the outfield, whether that's once Castellanos' contract is done and he moves to left field and they switch some things around, or maybe they explore it as early as next year. I think it's inevitable that Trey Turner is going to get moved off shortstop eventually in his tenure as a Philly, especially with guys like Starlin Cabo you have in the minors. You have good middle infielders coming up, and I just don't know if Trey's long-term spot with the Phillies is going to be at shortstop, but people might not like that, but I just think it's kind of the reality here because some of these plays, these are routine plays. And it feels like every time the ball is coming to Trey now, you have to worry a little bit, even if it's just, like I said, a routine ground ball. And it just, everything is made to look so difficult with Trey right now. And I'm glad he kind of bounced back at the plate last night. He, you know, made every play he had to in the field as well. But it just feels like there's a lack of just fundamental baseball there, and there's a lack of focus sometimes. And I just don't know if you can have that from your starting shortstop. So we'll see what happens with Trey. It was a good start last night to hopefully him bouncing back. And it looks like they're going to keep him in the two-hole, even though Castellanos had a good night in the two-hole the other night. And it's really been arguably the Phillies' best hitter.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Over this pretty bad stretch for them, he's been really good, actually, since the All-Star break, and he's been driving in runs as well, pretty much their most reliable guy in that area. So good on Nick Castellanos for kind of giving this offense a lift when they need it as well. Rojas's ABs, honestly, have been better as well. I think that Johan Rojas, I'm still worried kind of in a postseason scenario, how his at-bats are going to look. But I think that they've been way better lately. And I think he's been striking out much less, too. A strikeout percentage, it's over the 70th percentile in the league. So he is above average in terms of, you know, not striking out this year, which is obviously a massive improvement over what we saw in 2023. So good stuff from Rojas. And obviously we know what he does in center field. The defense has been great since he's been back up from the minor leagues when he got called down. And I think that he's probably their long-term, or not long-term, but just for the rest of the year, he's going to be getting a lot of starts in center field, especially if Brandon Marsh continues to struggle, because it has been rough for Brandon Marsh, man. I mean, I saw a stat the other day. As of a couple nights ago, he struck out in 44 of his last 90 at-bats. Just absolutely insane. The strikeouts have been a real problem for Brandon Marsh, and it hasn't just been against lefties either. It has been against everybody, and I just don't know if you can kind of trust him and Rojas, you know, back to back in a lineup. And I know they wanted to try the Brandon Marsh play every day thing, but just the strikeout percentage has been really bad. It's one of the worst in baseball. He's whiffing on a lot of balls that, you know, are up in the zone. And I just think that he's in a place right now where he really needs to figure some stuff out and find his swing again. And once Austin Hayes comes back, I'm kind of interested to see how they go about, you know, splitting up time between Hayes, Marsh, and Rojas. I think the way Rojas is playing right now, you got to give him some more time than, you know, maybe they anticipated deadline, because if he's playing that type of defense in center field, which he typically is, and he's, you know, producing at the plate like he is right now, which is, you know, I think above what we've seen from Johan Rojas kind of all year, maybe the best he's done, I think maybe they give Johan Rojas a chance to play a little more often as well. And you know what? I got to say, if this offense doesn't, you know, continue to pick it up, and if in the postseason they struggle again this year, I wonder who's kind of going to be the sacrificial lamb that, you know, maybe is fired or is gone from the Phillies next year. And I have a feeling it could be Kevin Long if the lineup struggles in the postseason, or struggles like the way it has over the last month, when the time comes to, you know, do it in the postseason. But I don't know. It just feels like the offense was in a really bad place over the past 4 weeks, and the last two nights have been great. You just hope that they can kind of continue to carry that momentum, and that the adjustments that Rob Thompson, Kevin Long, and the entire coaching staff made work a little here. So we want to move on to this pitching staff a little bit here, because you know what? The losing streak and this stretch of about 2 months, it's been just as much on the pitching as it has the lineup. So solid night from Wheeler last night. He really didn't have too much considering the run support that he was able to get, which was great. Obviously, 4 runs in the first inning, that always helps when you have Zach Wheeler on the mound. But I thought he was just, you know, in command of everything last night. Fastball looked good. Sweeper looked really good. And I like how he's implementing that split a little more as well. Those are all good signs to see. And yeah, Zach Wheeler is going to be right in that race for the Cy Young Award. I know Paul Skenes is right there. I know Chris Sale is having a really good year down in Atlanta as well. But he's going to be right there for the Cy Young at the end of the year. So hopefully he can continue to, you know, kind of have quality starts here so he can be in that mix, because Zach Wheeler absolutely needs to have a Cy Young Award by the time his Phillies tenure is over. So good stuff from Wheeler. Nola is in an interesting spot right now. He's giving up the homers kind of like he did last year. It's just he's keeping a lot of balls up, and he's having these blow-up innings, which it just feels like was so 2023 Aaron Nola. Like last year, it felt like he would, you know, get some traffic on the base paths and then kind of struggle to maneuver and work around it. And it feels like that's starting to come back this year. That Dodgers start was really frustrating with that four-run inning when the Phillies took a 2-0 lead earlier. That was about a little over a week ago at this point. And then his last start, it was kind of a lot of the same. Like, it just feels like that blow-up inning, which, you know, has plagued Aaron Nola for so many years, has kind of turned its head and come back a little bit. So you just have to, with Nola, he really just has to keep the balls down. Like, when he's keeping his knuckle curve up, when he's keeping his fastball up, he's not going to beat you with velocity. So it's all about location with him. And if that ball stays up in the zone, like, hitters are going to have the opportunity to crush the ball. So that's kind of what's happened. And you just have to hope Nola makes the adjustments and is able to kind of work around traffic a little better, because it just, the last couple of starts, it has been really bad in that regard. So that's where I'm at with Nola. I think he'll be fine, but it's just one of those stretches where you get so frustrated with Aaron Nola. And I even tweeted something. It's just like, almost out of frustration, I'm like, vintage Aaron Nola. And then somebody responded to me. It's like, dude, look at the numbers since 2018. Yes, I understand. Aaron Nola has been great for this team. I like Aaron Nola a lot. I'm a big Aaron Nola fan. You know, but these blow-up innings, they can't happen when your team is going through a stretch like this. You have to be able to kind of, you know, bear down and just keep your team in a game. And that's kind of what, you know, happened the last couple of games, is he was unable to do that. And it's been really frustrating to watch. So not a great couple of outings for Nola. Hopefully he can bounce back tonight when he faces up against Patrick Corbin, who, my goodness, has been really bad for the Nationals. So we'll see. Hopefully he can bounce back tonight. Also, Christopher Sanchez needs to bounce back this weekend. Rough outing in Arizona last week. Gave up like 11 or 12 hits. Mostly changeups he threw, which is interesting because the changeup is usually his out pitch, which he's gotten so many swings and misses on this year. But he was just keeping everything in the middle of the plate, which is weird because that just hasn't been something he's done very often this year. He pitches the contact, but he's usually on the edges of the plate, and he was just missing his location constantly in Arizona. He got touched up pretty badly there. Everything middle, and I think only goes about, you know, 4+, and just gave up a ton of contact. So not great from Sanchez there. Again, I think he goes on Saturday, and he'll be going up against Mackenzie Gore, another lefty for the Nationals. So hopefully he can bounce back as well there. Tyler Phillips, you know, it's tough right now because I respect Tyler Phillips a lot. I love the story, but you got to get Ranger back here. And I think Tyler Phillips grinds when he's on the mound. He kept them in another game, and they won a start that he pitched again on Wednesday night. But, you know, the stuff just isn't, it doesn't pop. And I think he's done a really good job here kind of, you know, bridging the gap while the Phillies get some guys healthy. But at the same time, the Phillies need to win some ball games here down the stretch. So it's really imperative they get Ranger back, and they're going to be doing that. I believe Ranger is coming back during the Kansas City series, which will be next week after they play the Nationals this weekend. And then they'd go down to Atlanta next week for three games, which will be a really important three games. You can kind of bury the Braves for good if you're able to take care of business there. Or the Braves can see this as an opportunity, and they come in and sweep you and then make it, you know, maybe a four-game lead. So going to be a big series down in Atlanta, but Rangers should be back for the Kansas City series. So that is a good sign as well. And last guy, Taijuan Walker. I mean, God, is he just so frustrating to watch. Like, they didn't lose that game on Tuesday night because of Taijuan Walker. But at the same time, it's just so, like, I said I was at that game Tuesday night. You know, I barely am in my seat, and it's 2-0 already. And it's just, for a team that's struggling, and they scored no runs. So again, I'm not saying the loss was strictly on Taijuan Walker, but it's got to be just so demoralizing as a team, just heading back into your dugout. You're already down 2-0. The fans are tense, and you know you have to win a game. And it's just got to be really frustrating as a player to be, you know, on the field and you're watching Taiwan Walker. And it's like coming back from maybe the worst blister of all time that kept him out almost 2 months. And then you're not even inning in. You're already down 2-0. So just really frustrating stuff from Taiwan Walker. But we'll see maybe if he can bounce back in his next start. I'm not counting on it, but it was just really rough the other night, and it's frustrating. And for a guy that's making the money he is, you expect a little better. Just for a guy to keep you in a ball game, you expect at least that from Taiwan Walker. So we will see there. With the bullpen, definitely worried about Jose Alvarado. It has not been great over the past few months. I definitely am concerned at this point. I'm not sure that I trust him in a big spot. Someone I actually do trust and who kind of got the Alvarado spot the other night, just in terms of not the matchups in terms of righty-lefty, but just in terms of leverage, was Jose Ruiz. And Jose Ruiz has not allowed a run in 8 2/3 innings since the All-Star break, and has only given up 3 hits as well. So Jose Ruiz has actually been on a pretty good run here. And one guy who, and it's funny, Ruiz and Junior Marte are kind of the two guys at the deadline I wanted the Phillies to replace. And Junior Marte has still been an absolute disaster. So definitely not all in on Junior Marte here. But Ruiz has been good. So that's been good to see. This bullpen can definitely use it. So if Rob Thompson feels like he can keep putting him in high leverage spots, you know, he's probably going to do it at this point, just in terms because of how everyone has been struggling, especially Jeff Hoffman, because Jeff Hoffman felt like the only sure thing with the Phillies bullpen over the course of, you know, this whole season and last year. So getting him back is going to be imperative. I don't know if they can get Alvarado back, but you need to get Hoffman back to be in there as your high leverage guys, along with Strom, along with Estevez. Kirkring has been a little better too. I know he gave up a homer last night, but he has been a little better as well. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.